And the show is all yours, Terry. Go for it.
All right. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. This is the NLA HamsNet. We're here to get everybody exposed to what ham radio sounds like. Please don't be afraid or worried about saying the wrong thing or jumping in when you need to. This is on the conference call, so we can hear everybody. Please mute yourself if you are not talking, and don't forget to unmute yourself when it's your turn to talk. I run it like a regular ham net because we need to get used to that, and that's all it is practice. If you need to stop everything and say something, I'm willing to listen. So I would like to know first how many people are on here. Jan, can you tell me that?
We have 10 at the moment.
10. Wow, that's excellent. Okay, so that's the one thing I have, Jan, and he can tell me things like that. So 10 at start. So I'm going to take check-ins. Everybody with a call sign suffix of A through L, please call now.
Hi, this is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf, Wonder Ann in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I actually spoke on my Spartanburgs, whatever they call it, on Monday night. So this is my second time. I'm getting excited. Over.
Hey, normally we would like a tone or a beep or something, or the signal would just go away, and that's how we could tell. But on here we kind of have to say, okay, yield or over. I don't care what you say.
Should I say my call sign at the end? That's what they do on Spartanburg. That's what I was learning there. Okay.
Less than about 30 seconds? No, and you were about 30 seconds. I'm not going to worry about it. Yes.
Okay.
All call signs, and that's a rule on ham radio, call signs, when you cease a communication, it's every 10 minutes if you don't say it in between or at the end. So if you have a conversation back in and you can't remember the last time you did it, it's probably been about 5 minutes, and you just give your call sign. So it's every 10 minutes, and at the end. For here, once you checked in, everybody knows who you are, and for the duration of this net, you can just give it at the end of everything that you do. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Call signs with a suffix from A through L. Please call now.
Kilo Delta. Kilo Delta. Kilo Delta Zero Zulu Charlie Zulu.
And what's your name?
This is Frank in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
Oh, Frank, yeah, I know who you are.
Hey, hi.
Hi. I'm writing furiously. Okay. Well, let's open the check-ins up to any call sign suffix, A through Z. Any other hams out there? This is KI0RE, by the way. Any hams out there? Okay. You're welcome to jump in anytime. I am Terry. I'm KI0RE. You can look me up. And I'm in Colorado, Longmont to be specific. Okay, I would like to take check-ins from other people who are interested in ham radio. If your state starts with A through L, please call now with your first name and your state, if you would, please. Go ahead.
This is Bruce in Sarasota, Florida. Go back to you.
Thank you, Bruce. Anybody else?
This is Greg from Inglewood, Florida. Back to you.
Thank you, Greg. Any others? Okay, states A through Z. Anybody who wants to check in, please go ahead.
You got Jan from Pennsylvania.
Jan from Pennsylvania. Thank you very much, Jan. Go ahead. Who else?
Paul, Michigan.
Paul in Michigan. Thank you, Paul. We appreciate it. Anybody else? Okay.
Yeah, Arizona.
I didn't catch it all. Please say again.
It's Ben, Arizona.
Okay, I got Arizona, but I didn't hear who. Ben, was it?
Darren.
Yeah.
Karen?
Darren.
D-A-R-R-E-N.
D-A-R-R-E-N. Darren, is
right.
That correct?
Right.
That's correct.
Okay, great. All right, is there anybody else who wants to check in? Okay. My topic for tonight is resonance. I was going to teach this a little earlier, about a little bit now. Resonance is every whoever is letting that video go, please mute yourself. Resonance means that the one frequency that affects an entire system. So I had a cart today. When we had when the tires were low on it, it wasn't it was a good cart, but it was kind of hard to pull. So we aired up the tires, and all of a sudden it had a different resonance. And when I would go on a bumpy floor, it would immediately just start wobbling in the front on those wheels. When I'd go on a smooth floor, it would smooth out and roll just fine. But it would only do it up to a certain speed of my walking. If I tried to walk too fast, it would start doing that. It was hard to push, and I would slow down. And I thought that interesting, that the natural resonance of that rolling across the floor would make that front wheel flutter and slow me down. I also found out that once I had some weight on it, because I put a couple of ladders that we received today on it, that adding that bulk changed the resonant frequency of when those wheels start fluttering. And I could push it faster with the ladders on than I could with them off. And I just thought that interesting. There is resonance in everything. And this is why radio waves have frequencies, because you're not resonant on a certain frequency. You can't hear it. And that's why you adjust to different frequencies. I can talk a whole bunch more, but I would like to get everybody's opinion. I'm going to go down through the list. It's called the round robin. And I'm going to say, I'm going to ask if I need to explain anything about resonance. And then I would like you to either ask a question or state something that concerns you. So since you were the first check-in, Wonder Ann, KW4XG, you have the floor, and let me know when you yield. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
The question is, do you have any questions about resonance? Do you have anything to say about resonance? Or do you have any concerns about what's going on, or some, a comment, or whatever you want to do? Or if you want to ask a question, that's fine. Any topics, fine. I yield.
Thank you, sorry. On the fact with resonance and frequency, when I'm speaking on my PTT means push to talk. And so when I'm doing my PTT, I feel like I'm talking into a hollow shell. And yet on the other end, they're saying I'm coming in very clear. Is that a point of resonance, or is it because I'm close enough to the repeater here? And I know you don't know where that is, and I don't either. Or is it because I've got a tower? Does that affect the resonance or the frequency? I yield.
Okay, Wonder Ann, what it is when you push the press to talk, your receiver is disconnected from your antenna, and your transmitter is connected to the antenna so that you send it out. And that's kind of a protection, because if you let the energy that's going from the transmission go back up and into your receiver, it would blow it out, because it's 5 watts directly into it, and it's used to figuring out whether you have milliwatts, because that's all the signal you have at some distance away. So when it sounds like it's going dead, that's because it's listening. There should be a light or something that should tell you that you're transmitting, and you should get some indication. But that's all it is. They disconnect the receiver while you're transmitting because you're the one talking. Only one person can talk at a time on the radio. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and I've seen, I'm seeing on my display, on the Kenwood display, that there's kind of an arrow thing, a little boxes, and then it goes down into smaller little boxes. And I've noticed that goes on and off. When we're off, it's gone. When we're on, it's on. So is that what you're saying for showing the speaking part?
Yes, that's one indicator, and that's a common one. And what it is, and I don't know your specific radio, but that is a signal strength indicator when you're listening. And then when it goes off, that means you're transmitting because you're not listening to any signals. The receiver has been disconnected and the transmitter is hooked up. And just to explain to everyone, KW4XG went and took her test a couple of weeks ago and took all the tests at once and got her extra. And so she's a new ham, just learning all this stuff. Does that answer your question, Andrea?
It does, and I have, and that's great. I appreciate it because that answered both of that section I was concerned with. And the other one is keeping a call log. Do you have a book kind of like that you keep it together, or a flip chart, or what is a log? And could you explain how and why we would have a log? I studied it in the test, but it still is kind of, when do I start it, how do I keep it? Those weren't in the test, so I appreciate it. Over.
Okay, when you can have a log, you don't have to keep a log if you don't want to. But what it is if you write down the date and the time and the call sign of the person you're talking with, if they want to get a what's called a QSL card from you and verify that you two did talk together, you can verify it. You can say, yeah, I talked to this call sign. And they might be doing the same thing for you. Now, on UHF and VHF, they're so crowded that most people don't need a call log. But I carry a little bitty spiral-bound notebook. And if it's particular enough, if it's interesting enough, I write down who I was talking to, the date and the time, and something about what we were talking about. If it's unusual enough, or if I feel like I need to record that call, that's what I do. But I don't do it very often on UHF and VHF. As a matter of fact, I haven't done it in the last year or two, at least. So do you have to keep a call log? No. Can a call log be this nice log? Yeah, you can find radio call logs all over the place on the net. Or you can just take a spiral book for 79 cents from the store and just write it in there. Okay, I'd like to move on, and I'll come back around and ask you if you have anything else here in a minute. Frank in Scotts Bluff. Can you answer my question, and do you have any questions? The floor is yours, Frank. Did we lose you, Frank? Is Sylvia on? Because she didn't get a chance to talk last week, and I'd like to get her in if she's on. Is Sylvia there?
I'll take a look.
Okay. All right, Frank, did you unmute yourself? Because I don't hear you.
Yes, I just did. Thank you.
Okay, I forgot about it, but go ahead.
Thank you. I am Sue Ham, and I don't have a question about frequency. I'm an old social science guy, so this radio stuff is real new to me, and I have a question about it overall as just a tech. Am I much help to the organization I'm able to receive, and I have a small handheld Baofeng and a small hand-me-down mobile radio in the car that's much more powerful than the Baofeng. So I'm able to receive and broadcast just in my county, but how helpful is that to, as a new member of NLA, how helpful is that to the organization?
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Very helpful. And it's not so much NLA, but we're getting the ham started. So we want to encourage you to learn everything you can. You have gotten into a group, maybe less than 1% of the population, that knows about enough about radio to talk on the radio. There's a lot of stuff you can learn out there now. Make yourself useful. Learn how to communicate effectively. It isn't going to be important to NLA per se, except in that you'll be able to support your local communications of safety, their committees of safety, excuse me, or your committee of communication or community committee of correspondence. One of those will need a ham radio. You can go there and talk about that, and you can help them set it up. Also, I would get in with the ham clubs and see if you can't find a ham that you can introduce to the NLA who might be able to handle long-distance communications for you so that you can kind of stay up with what's going on. We don't have the network there yet, but we could certainly use you. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Terry. That's a helpful plan for me to work on.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank. We'll be back around in a minute. Bruce in Florida, do you have an answer to my question, or do you have a separate question or a comment that you'd like to make, sir? Bruce,
yeah, this,
yeah, there you go. I can hear you now. Go.
Yeah, you know, resonance is a capacitor and inductor. If they're in series, they're infinite. I mean, zero resistance, and if they're in parallel, they're infinite resistance. That's the way you can separate your frequencies, ground out the ones you don't want.
Interesting. Sounds like you know something about electricity already.
Well, a little bit. But I don't know anything about radio, but I do know electronics pretty good.
Okay. So then you understand what's called capacitive reactance and inductive reactance. Is that what you're talking about?
Right, yes. Yeah, it's the resistance, really. It's AC resistance.
Yeah, AC resistance. There's a word for it, and it's called reactance. Then there's capacitive reactance, and there's inductive reactance. And we could go into Eli the Iceman and how current leads voltage, but that's more than what we need to do here right now. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. Is there any kind of question I can answer for you?
No, I'm just trying to get started in this. Next week I'm going to go and get my tests, and I should be. I did it today online, and I missed two questions, so I think I can pass it all right.
All right. I want to encourage you to do something. When you go take the test, they require you pay a fee. I think it's $14 or $15 or something like that. And you can take as many tests as you want as long as you pass the one before. So that's what Wonder Ann did. She took her tech, and then she took her general, and she passed both of those, so they let her take the extra. I would encourage you to go ahead and take as many tests as you can pass. It's good for you, and it's good practice, and it's just a good thing to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. I think I'd be satisfied with the technician license. I'm 89 years old, and I'm not going to get too involved in this. But I bought one of those Baofengs, and I like to get started with it. That's about it.
Okay.
Back to you.
It's your choice, and thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to move on to Greg in Florida. Do you have an answer to my question? And do you have a question or something that I can answer, a comment, whatever you'd like? It's your floor, Greg. Don't forget to unmute yourself.
I just had a quick question.
Yes.
On resonance, isn't that set up based on, I guess it would be called the, my mind is going blank, different lengths of light antenna lengths, you know, you can get an efficiency out of magic numbers, you know, like 430 or something like that. I was reading something about antenna lengths and resonance and distances you can travel, but I just briefly just started looking at it, and I need to get an antenna for my receiver here, and so I'm just kind of breaking into this with my little receiver I have that you plug into your computer, so I need to find an antenna for it. To you, back to you.
Okay, the easy way is go down to the ham shop and tell them you want a VHF or a UHF or whatever frequency you'll be working with, and if it's hooked to your computer, that might be a software-defined radio. Resonance has a lot to do with antennas and the physical array of the antenna, the physical length of the antenna, all has to do with capacitance. It's a lot easier to fit those waves. If you think about it, a radio wave has a distance. All radio waves travel at the speed of light. So if you're going to transmit, let's just say, one cycle at AM band, 1 kilohertz, that means it every second it goes up and down and back up at 1,000 times, 1,000 plus 1,000. So at 1 kilohertz, that's a megahertz, one megahertz. 10,000, what am I thinking? 1 kilohertz is 1,000 hertz. So it does a full cycle every second. Well, if they're traveling at speed of light, that's going to have a certain wavelength. And you can do the division, and yeah, they take the formula that figures that out, and they just substitute 430 for the instead of the speed of light, and it comes out to a feet. So they find the translation, and it happens to be 430. I'm not going to go into that because I don't have a bulletin board or a chalkboard here or a whiteboard that I can show you all you guys on, and then we'll get lost if we're doing it. But you're looking at it. It's in the book. The idea is that at 10 megahertz, there's a whole bunch more up and down waves. And so your wavelength, the distance that a wave travels at speed of light in one of those cycles, shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. As you go up in frequency, wavelength goes smaller and smaller and smaller. So you get to about, your wavelength is about 2 meters in the VHF band and about 70 centimeters in the UHF band, the ham bands. So, yes, does that answer your question?
I wanted to be able to eventually, like, transmit across the country. So I'm trying to figure out which antenna would be the most, you know, so I don't have to do this again. Over.
Okay. The problem is that you got to go down in frequency. The long radio waves, they call it short wave, but that's a misnomer because they didn't know anything about VHF and UHF. They call it short wave. But that's the HF frequencies. Everything up to about 10 megahertz is, or 30 megahertz, excuse me, is considered shortwave or HF, high frequency radio. Now, those have the characteristics in different bands of skipping off of different layers and circumnavigating the entire globe at times, if the conditions are right. They will go long distances to get HF. To be able to transmit on HF, you can get down and do some on the 10-meter band, but that's right above CB radio. You can do it on CB if you want, but 5 watts isn't going to carry you far. You really need to get some specialized equipment and go down and get in the HF band. I would recommend that you keep studying the radio, take your tests, but you can start right now and find a ham radio club near you so that you got somebody close at hand that can answer your questions. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Over. Okay, thank you, Greg. And we'll go on. Jan, you got the floor.
Yeah. I understand about resonance. Played with it for 50 years, I guess. Don't have any real questions. If I think of one, I'll come back on the next round. Over.
Perfectly fine. No questions, okay. Paul, Michigan, it's your turn, sir. I don't think you've unmuted yourself yet, Paul.
No, he doesn't show as muted.
I think I did now.
Okay, yeah, you there. Go ahead.
I'm here just to listen and just to understand the terms and hopefully someday get a ham radio. So I'm just here for education for now. Over.
Okay, is anything so far making sense, Paul?
I'm trying to digest it. As I go along, you know.
Okay. So, do you have any main questions you'd like to ask?
I have a neighbor that is a ham radio operator. So I talked to him already. I got a book from him. So I'm just getting into it when I get time.
Well, super. I want to encourage you to keep doing that, Paul. And that neighbor can be a super resource for you. Just ask any questions you want of him. And please, feel free to come back here and talk about anything that you've learned. I would love to hear about it. And I'm available if you want to call me at any time. Okay. Darren in Arizona, you have the floor, sir.
Oh, thank you. I really have nothing to ask and or answer for your question. I'm just listening and learning little by little. Over.
Okay. Resonance. Do you understand resonance?
Well, I've studied and looked at the solfeggio tones. If that's something like 528 hertz, I really like that, into that education there especially. Over.
Yeah, you're kind of spotty there. I don't know what it sounds like. It might be that automatic gain control is cutting you off, maybe on my side. I don't know. So once in a while, your words are clipped. Do you understand what resonance is?
Not really. Not completely. No, I don't.
Think of a wave going down a trough. Let's say you got a rain gutter. And there's something at one end pushing at a regular frequency. You can imagine a wave of water traveling down that trough. Can you not?
I see what you mean. Over.
Okay. I have a trough just like that, that I can adjust how fast the water gets pushed in the waves so the next wave comes. And I have four lengths of piano wire. And from the shortest one to the longest one, they only vary by about 2 inches. So each one is a half inch larger than the one before. I can set that thing up to where one of those piano wires sticking straight up will swing back and forth, and the others will be almost perfectly still. That means that whatever speed, whatever frequency I'm pushing that water, it's resonating with that one that's moving real fast. And I can up the frequency a little, and the shorter one will go. And the others will stay still. Up the frequency a little more, a shorter one will wiggle back and forth really a lot. And the others will stay still. And it's just amazing. It's the resonance, the natural resonance of a particular length of wire. This gets back to who somebody was asking about the antenna. And yeah, frequency makes a big difference on how long your antenna should be. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Darren.
Let's see.
No, that was someone else. I'm good. Thank you. Over.
Okay. Are there? I'm gonna take mid-meeting check-ins. Is there anyone that would like to be on the net? Please call now with your name and your state. Thank you.
Whiskey Quebec, Tango Zebra 711. This is Doug in Colorado.
Well, hi, Doug. Good to hear
hi,
from
Terry.
You. We were
likewise.
Talking about resonance and anything else you wanted to talk about. Anything you wanted to hear about today?
I got in just like 7 or 8 minutes late and missed the initial discussion on resonance. I do have a basic understanding of frequency and resonance and how all that works, but not necessarily in the radio world. Are you saying that if a person transmits at a given frequency, that it can actually be received on a different frequency by resonance, or am I missing it?
It can be received on a different frequency in the radio or the receiver, the transmitter or the receiver. If your transmitter is sending out garbage and harmonics at particular frequency, usually at fundamentals, i.e. one times the frequency, two times the frequency, three times, an integer multiple of the frequency. Sometimes you'll hear it. In the beginning of TV, people didn't tighten up their receiving circuits, and you get a ham down the street, and he would just come out on top of that. Well, it just so happens that there are certain frequencies that the third harmonic was a local TV station's frequency that they were on. So would get somebody watching, all of a sudden the ham is talking over the show. That would make people up. And yes, that can be done. We've gotten now to where most receivers select a frequency range that is very, very tight, right on where they should be. And so you don't get that. You get what's called rejection. It's rejecting other frequencies. When you think about it, all these frequencies passing through you, me, and around the world all the time. And if you could see them, you wouldn't. It would be like a fog. It would be so common. And it's only the ones that you tune your receiver to that you hear. That's because it doesn't listen much to the right or the left. It listens spot on that frequency because we've got it to where you only hear what you're looking for. And Can interference be induced in another radio? Yes. There's certain things that can happen if it's not closed. I could go through a whole bunch of them. Just suffice to say that one frequency can be heard at the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, multiple sometimes, especially the third seems to be a little more powerful. But it's because of what the receiver is. Most transmitters, and the Bofeng is a good one, it doesn't do that, but it can. If there's, and that's called interference, and the FCC wants you to deal with it, but be nice about it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and actually, now that you mentioned it, I'm old enough to remember watching TV and hearing somebody blurt in and riding over the TV, bleed over, I believe they called it, or something. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense that they've just tightened down the receivers. It doesn't pick up a wide frequency as much as it used to, and it blocks a lot of that out now. That makes a lot of sense. Also, I wanted to mention for anybody that was here last week and heard me mention that I left my Baofeng out in the rain, and it was a hard rain overnight. I let it dry out before I turned it on, and just for everybody's information, it works just like a new one, so that's good news. Over.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for that. So they have a pretty good resistance to moisture. I wouldn't go dunking them in a bucket of water, but if you let one get wet accidentally, there's a good chance you just let it dry out and things will be okay. So that's good. Thank you very much, Doug, for telling that. I'll go back through and we'll see if anybody else is out there, and you're welcome to ask any question or talk on any topic you want, but let's keep it short. First one, KW4XG, Wonder Ann, the floor is yours. Don't forget to unmute. Wonder Ann, are you out there? We're not hearing you if you are. *6 to unmute. Okay, nothing heard?
I don't see her on the board anymore.
Okay, that maybe she fell off. We'll get her when she comes back. Oh, she comes back. Okay. Frank, KD0ZCZ. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I have to use the international names for each letter myself to get that across. So, yes, Zulu Charlie works pretty good. I'm working with the Oath Keepers as well, and I know this organization is quite open to more communication between the two groups. I'm also in touch with the Ham Club here in town, which is a wonderful group. So I see myself, would you agree, as a newbie member, most helpful if I just go ahead and continue with the civics and constitution course of the group here? Over.
Oh, absolutely. I would encourage everyone, if you haven't done it, run through the constitution course. It's rather short, and at the end you can download a book, several pages, that has basically everything you just covered. Really good. It's good information. And then the civics course is a little longer. It's a little harder to get through, but well worth the effort because you learn about a lot of stuff there. And yes, I would definitely get involved with a local ham radio club, because there is a pool of knowledge that we want to bring in to NLA, but especially to committees of safety. Your local committee of safety, what hams do is communicate. They will get a message from A to B the quickest way they can. And when a disaster hits or some emergency arises, that getting a message from one person to many or one person to another person can be critical on whether the right response is chosen and accomplished. So, yes, I would say you're doing everything right. Anything else?
Yes, thank you, Terry. I have a question again about the website. There is a wonderful-looking handbook on jurors, on the juror handbook or jury handbook, and I was hoping to see a PDF of that online. It looks like I need to just purchase one. It doesn't look like I could purchase just one jury handbook to learn it. Or shall I just stay with the civics course right now and not worry about the handbook?
No, I think it's good to have the handbook. There is a PDF file. Maybe Jan could tell you where that's at here in just a minute. And so think about that going in, Jan. You've got a couple of people before you. Yes. You can download that and be reading that when you're not online, and reading your civics course or your constitution course when you are online. I think that's good. I think it's good to have a diverse set at which you can go from one to the other. Does that answer your question, Frank?
Thank you, Terry. And I again just want to compliment all the long-term members of this group. It is the most inspiring group of law-focused people I have ever met. I love your openness to working with Brent Winters. I like his work, and it seems like you like his work as well. So just keep carrying on and keep inspiring us. God bless you. Thank you. Over.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm on page 463 of The Excellence of the Common Law, written by Brent Winters. So, yeah, we appreciate that very much. Thank you, Frank. Bruce in Florida, it's your turn. You have the floor, sir.
If this is Bruce, can you hear me?
You unmute yourself. Go ahead.
I thought I did. No?
Yep, I hear you now.
Oh, okay. I don't have any other questions. I'm just trying to get started in this, too. And as far as that handbook, you can download it. I did download it, and I ordered 100 of them, and I give them out to people. But the download works all right, and your printer will print it out and write in the booklet form. So, but that's all. I don't have any other questions. Back to you.
Well, thank you for that input. I appreciate it, Bruce. That was very helpful. And you're welcome to call me anytime. You have my numbers, my email address. Anyone is perfectly okay to call me or write to me. I can't say that I'll always answer, but you might have to leave a message and I get back to you. But everybody is welcome to call me if you need a little help. Or if you just want to ask a question or make a comment. Greg in Florida, it's your turn, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've got just a basic question about this little radio spectrum processor that I bought is all. It says the bandwidth is from 160 meters to 23 centimeters, 10 kilohertz to 2 gigahertz. So I'm just trying to see. I guess I should really go just to the ham club and ask them, right?
Yes, and it sounds to me, since you hook it to your computer, it's a software-defined radio. We've come a long ways from the days of when you had to have a crystal set, and now all you need is a VFO that will oscillate at the particular frequency, and then you let the computer do all of the work to make the thing work for you the right way. But you still need an outside antenna. It still needs to be cut at the right length. It still needs to be arrayed in the proper way for the antenna. And, yes, you're going to have a wealth of information at your local ham club. Does that answer your question, Greg?
Yep, that'll do it. Thank you. Over.
Thank you very much. Jan, can you answer a question about where the jury handbook is, and anything else you'd like to contribute, sir? Go ahead, Jan. It's your floor.
Okie doke. Yeah, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/jurist-handbook if you want, or you can go to the NLA store. It's on the right side of the blue banner, the top of the web pages. Click on that, and then click on a jurist handbook. And it'll say, sorry, out of stock. I think we bought 50 or 60,000 copies to start with. They're all sold out. But right under the sorry, we're out of stock sign, there is a little clicker for the grand jury handbook final in a PDF format. And you can click that and download it and print it out. So you still have it available. Another thing I would like to mention, now is the time to buy that little book. Bofang or whatever small UHF, VHF transceiver you're going to get. It's far better to have one and not need it than need it and not have it. And with all of the things that are happening now between general goings on and possibly economic problems, monetary problems, all that sort of thing, I would rather have something in hand than find out they're going to take my money or do this or that. So I would strongly recommend that people, if they're at all inclined and are planning on ever buying a small transceiver, that they order the Bofang, either the cheapest one, the 5-watt, or the more expensive one, the 8-watt. And I would probably recommend, if you can at all afford it, go with the 8-watt. It has a little bit better range. It's the newest technology. I think it's the third version of that particular Bofang model. Over.
Okay, thank you, Jan. Was it Bruce or Greg? I think it was Bruce. Did that answer your question? Who was it was looking for the jury handbook? Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, that was me here in Scotts Bluff, and that was helpful. Thank you.
Okay, Frank. So I'm sorry. I didn't take the right note, and so I lost track of who it was. Okay. Paul in Michigan, your floor, sir. Paul, did you unmute yourself?
Yes, I did. I just did.
Go ahead.
What? Clean up your dinner plate.
Well, I'm just still listening yet, so I don't have really anything to contribute, except about a week and a half ago, we did have tornadoes come through here, and I had somebody try to contact me by my cell phone and warn me that there's tornadoes coming, but I could not get back to them. I couldn't retrieve their message, and I was only about a mile and a half from the tower, so I wish I would have had a ham radio. And my question now is, would a ham radio get through a storm like that?
Mm-hmm.
Would a ham radio get through good transmission through a fierce storm?
I was just waiting for you to say you're done.
Okay, when a cell phone can't, I'm done.
Okay. Yes. As a matter of fact, one aspect of ham radio is that you can get some training and act as the eyes and ears of the weather service out in the field. And a lot of them, they call it Skywarn. And you can do Skywarn anywhere. And they work with the National Weather Service, and they give reports. Ham give reports. Hey, the funnel cloud is right here. I'm at this place, and it's this direction about 2 miles from me, and I'm watching it. Or I'm having hail at a certain size. The Skywarn they teach you how to do that. And yes, you can get on that same frequency that they're using and just listen to the reports and you'll be up on it. Doesn't happen every time like that, but if they do, you have the latest information. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I have one more question though.
Sure.
Jan mentioned about a 5-watt and an 8-watt. And my question is that 8-watt, you need a license for that? Over.
Yes, anytime you're going to transmit on the ham bands, so, you know, any ham band, there's several of them. We're talking mainly about UHF and VHF. They're at about 148 megahertz on VHF and about 420 to 450 megahertz on UHF. And, yes, you need a ham license. Now, the nice thing about the ham license is there are a few restrictions on how much power you can use. But when you get up, especially in the extra class, there are very few. And I've seen guys use a lot of power. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. Over.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Darren in Arizona, back around to you. You have the floor, sir. Go ahead. Don't forget down here.
Okay. You hear me okay?
Yes.
I was wondering, I was reading on the NLA site about the ham radios last week. They get all FM stations or something like that. Would they be also getting any AM radio? Over.
I can't remember if mine does AM radio. I know it does do FM radio, but and I think it does AM radio, but I can't remember. That's probably the most least used piece of how I use the Bofang that I have. But certainly you can put it on a station that you want to listen to for weather, the broadcast station, and then have the other side do your ham communications. So, yes, that's possible. Does that answer your question?
That does. Great. One other question was, does NLA have them? Are they ready to go? Over.
We're getting very close. I think they're in the final negotiations. We had some things we had to work out, and I expect in the next week or two they will be available. You can go out and buy one off of Amazon if you want at any time. Learn how to program it and program it up. You don't have to wait on NLA if you don't want to. Answer your question?
That's great. Thank you. I'm out.
Okay, thank you. Doug, any last words, sir? Doug, I don't hear anything. Have you unmuted?
I'm sorry. I got a mouthful of food. I do have one of the many questions that just came to mind is through the repeaters, which seems to be the only way out with the Baofeng UHF, VHF type communication. You can't actually directly communicate through the repeater, can you? It's like a pass-along kind of thing, as I understand it. Over.
I don't think I've got a handle on your question yet. When you talk, let me just explain a repeater. A repeater listens on one frequency and then transmits that same thing, your signal, onto a different frequency. And so if you're hitting a repeater, you're on the input frequency to the repeater when you push or press the test. Anything you say is being heard by the repeater, and the repeat, and it might be 4 watts or 5 watts or 8 watts or just a barely audible signal. It's turned around and it's put out at 35, 40, or 50 watts, whatever the repeater is set for, and everybody that can hear the repeater is hearing you talk. Does that answer your question? Or if not, please ask it again. I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, no, that's starting to clarify it. I guess to reach out, though, when it all comes apart, to if it's not an EMP situation, and some of us at least have radios going, and there's a few repeaters working, for example, NLA to communicate nationwide, you would still, that was very helpful, but you're still limited to the reach of that repeater, and then someone listening to that would have to pass it on further. Is that right?
Yes, and that was one way to do it. It used to be called the Amateur Radio Relay League, and that's exactly what they did. A guy in Boston would pass it to a guy in Farmington. A guy in Farmington would pass it to a guy in another city, whatever the next town over is. And then you'd pass it all the way across. They still do that on some networks. The other thing you can do is go down the HF bands. If you have a higher class of license, a general or an extra, you can use an HF radio, communicate direct to another person, clear across the country, clear around the other side of the world, if you know what you're doing. I need to wrap up this net. Do you have any other questions fast if you do? Okay,
I just wanted to say,
is there anybody else wants to check in?
This is Kilo Whiskey for X-Ray Golf. I was got so excited when you were going to call on me that I ended the call instead of pushing mute, so I want to apologize to everybody. And I did want to validate the fact that please go to your local ham club. Our ham club here in Spartanburg meets on the first Tuesday of every month, but the other Tuesdays they have training things, And I see now that I'm going to have to go on Tuesdays and have the guys teach me different things, because the fact what you're saying, Terry, even though I took the test, I don't know anything about ham. I have to learn what to be a ham is. So I really encourage everybody to, now if we all did that to our local ham clubs, there are sponsors there that'll help you. That's all I can validate. Time's running out. Over Kilo Whiskey for X-Ray Golf.
Yes, we missed you, Wonder Ann, and we're sorry that we kind of pinched you on time. Next time we'll give you more. You're absolutely right. And also, when you go talk to those hams, take something to give them from NLA if you can. If you can't, that's okay. You don't have to push NLA, but we do appreciate it, and talk to them about committees of safety. I got to wrap it up right there because I'm out of time, and I want to get off with a couple of minutes to spare so they have time to set up their network. Thank you very much. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I would be 9 check-ins tonight. Very good net. Thank you all for participating. Work on something this week and be prepared to tell us what you learned this week. Thank you very much, and I'm now going to close the net. Jan, can you stop the recording, please?